Hello and welcome to the TV show. I'm John.
And from Chicago's North Side, I am Scotto.
And before we get to this week's show, I've been recording an album for the last couple of months. I finally finished it. It's up on Bandcamp right now. It's called Forgotten Friend by John H. Maloney. Seven tracks, about 25 minutes long. You can stream it for free on Bandcamp. It'll be on Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube Music, etc. probably next week. For now you can stream it on Bandcamp, and if you're going to buy it, please buy it on Bandcamp because they give me a bigger cut. Hope you like it if you decide to check it out. And now on to this week's show, which is from 2016, initially, Stranger Things. Stranger Things is an American science fiction horror series created by Matt and Ross Duffer. Set in the early to mid-80s, the series centers on the fictional town of Hawkins, Indiana, home of Hawkins National Laboratory, where they ostensibly perform scientific research for the United States Department of Energy, but secretly experiment on superpowered children, one of whom opens a rift to another dimension, dubbed the Upside Down by the series characters. Monsters then spill into Hawkins, people die, one of the aforementioned children has to save the town and her not-so-superpowered friends on multiple occasions. It's a whole thing. The first season premiered on Netflix on July 15th, 2016, followed by three subsequent seasons. We'll mostly be talking about the latest season, season four, and speculating about the upcoming and final season, season five, but we'll also be mentioning, of course, the previous seasons as well. Now, I gotta start with a boast. I was kinda right when I said they were gonna end the season in the Upside Down.
Yeah, I mean, they brought the Upside Down
to Hawkins. But, they're effectively in the Upside Down.
Right.
And I'm beginning to wonder if it existed before the banishment.
It's tough to say. Looking back at season one, they talk about they made 11 open the gate.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that gate existed, whether that was before her confrontation with Vecna,
right.
Back then.
Well, no, the opening of season one was after Vecna.
Right.
After the banishment. A few years, actually.
They did make 11 open that gate, though, to get the Demogorgon out.
Well,
That must have been after Vecna. Like, they knew that the gate was there.
Well, yeah, because the banishment was videotaped.
Right.
Was filmed, and Modine's character, I can't think of his name.
Dr. Brenner.
Thank you. We see Brenner watching the tape of her banishing Vecna. Or Juan, or Henry, or whatever you want to call him. Full spoilers here.
Many names.
Yeah. And as I remember, in season one, we have no idea about any of that until she's doing the remote viewing exercise and she sees the Mind Flayer. Or not the Mind Flayer, the Demogorgon.
Right. They do talk about the gate kind of being her. Well, they blame the gate being on her, but they made her do it.
Right.
The second, the outburst that happens that starts the series off.
And, now we know that it was because Brenner was trying to find Vecna or find out where he went. Because he somehow surmised from that videotape that she just didn't outright fucking kill him. She sent him somewhere.
Right. Although it is very easy to think that somebody got killed in that.
Yeah.
And that's what, how they end season three, where you think that Hopper...
Right.
Is killed, but he's really sent in like Vecna.
And if they killed Hopper, let's be real, lots of middle-aged women would riot. Because David Harbour is very popular.
Is he?
If you have any middle-aged women who are attracted to men in your timeline, if you were paying attention, particularly during the first couple of seasons, he was very, very popular. The other question I'm seeing about season five is, are they going to bring back Kali?
I think they would.
Kali, if you don't recall, was was number 10, who she had befriended in the Institute.
Or was she
who,
8? I forget.
You know, was she in season 2, 11 went on the road to find her and found her with, as she's referred to, as they're referred to in the New York Stories recap, the punk X-Men.
Yeah, they were not very popular amongst.
No,
she was 8.
Oh, 8 it was, okay.
And I believe that they had her a younger version of her in season 4.
Oh, okay, perhaps, yeah. Yeah, it makes sense because she would have still been there because 11 at the beginning was very young, or in those flashbacks with
one who, you know, was encouraging 11 to. You know.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think they will bring her back just because it fixes a plot hole, sort of. You know, because she's out there. We know she's out there, but we've never seen her again, so.
Well, I think she also knows about the lab, and of course, this has to make, you know, international news, and then wants to find out that Eleven is facing this on her own.
Right,
she's going to come for her to come,
help her out. Right,
to come back and help her out
and bring the X-Men. It really was an X-Men ripoff. I kind of enjoyed that part of the season because I'm a big X-Men fan.
But that's what the Duffers do, you know. Everything, you know.
This is true.
There's kind of a lot of echoes of Nightmare on Elm Street in this.
Oh, yeah, those are very
even
relevant.
Before bringing in Robert, England himself.
Well, the whole Vecna thing, they admitted, was totally ripped off from Freddy.
Like, there was an episode earlier, something like The Weirdo on Maple Street is like the second episode.
and also borrowing from The Twilight Zone there. I can't remember the exact title, but it was the Something on Something Street.
Of course, but the real thing that has strung this whole series, you know, this whole show together is just the love letter to Dungeons and Dragons.
Well, it's the love letter to D&D. It's also just a love letter to the late 70s or early 80s. You know, there's so much nostalgia in the show for when we were about 10 years old.
Right, because 83 is when this begins, and that is exactly when I started playing.
Yeah. Oh, okay. That's when you start on in D&D too. So that's a double whammy for you,
right? So I mean, this totally was us sitting around, you know, in somebody's garage. Right.
I did some math. I think 11 is my age.
Wow. Okay.
So the rest are a little older. But what caught my attention when I was reading through the synopsis for the past season, for the most recent season 4, I don't remember. The basketball player dying. I'm even blanking on his name right now. Looking, the one who gets killed, the third one for the in the ritual.
Oh, yeah, and he's number 3.
Yeah, I don't remember him being killed. Patrick,
kind of
there
expected
it is.
Something more to happen with that than what did, you know, because that whole plot of the basketball players was kind of was probably the only blemish on this past season, I would say.
I mean, I hated Jason, but I loved seeing Lucas beat the shit out of him, and I especially loved seeing him being incinerated when the gate opened.
Right.
He's right in the path of it.
And I get it. They were doing the whole satanic panic. But really, plot wise, I'd say the X-Men Junior thing had more fitted more than what the basketball team did.
And it gave, you know, Erica a chance to be a little bit of a badass, which we were all waiting for.
There was a, you know, a lot of time devoted to it too. Just the whole you know, the whole town meetings and stuff, which was just kind of a waste. I mean, I guess it was an excuse to put Eddie in hiding.
Well, that, and he was wanted
for murder.
You could
have had just the cops looking for him for murder, right?
It actually, well, even without that bit, it made the sense that he would run. He was a drug dealer. He's a drug dealer. This girl dies violently and mysteriously in front of him. He's gonna fucking take off.
Right.
You know, I mean, as much as we all love Eddie, he's a great guy. He's a fucking drug dealer. So, you thing is, I remember Christy Cunningham's death because it was the thing that kicked everything off.
Yes.
I remember Fred's death in episode two, even though he was only there for like 5 minutes.
I wish the cop had been more of a good guy and more of a help in this, because it was obvious that no human could have killed Christy in that way, you know?
Yeah.
Like, especially Eddie. I mean, he was, you know, a dude and all, but I mean, just like snapping her limbs like that.
He's no. Rail thin, though.
Right. That's not how it would go down.
Dude could probably barely lift a glass of water if he existed. And that's not a comment on Joseph Quinn. I'm sure he's in good shape. But, you know, Eddie, as presented, was a rail who could probably barely lift a glass of water. I don't know how he lifted an electric guitar.
You know, it wouldn't take, you know, William Peterson from CSI to deduce that, you know, she was dropped from a great height somehow, and somehow all of her limbs were just snapped like twigs, and just the force needed to do that with nothing there, and just all the weirdness that's around in the trailer. You could just see that he did not do that. So it would have been cool maybe to have seen this cop be more of a good guy and try to help figure out what the hell was really going on.
But I think turning everybody against him made you more sympathetic to Eddie.
True.
Yeah, because I don't know if they really presented him right before he went on the run. He maybe could have used a little more introduction to get us on his side.
Well, you don't expect much from him. That's what they kind of set him up negatively.
Yeah.
You know, like he's just this asshole.
Except Dustin and Mike like him.
Yeah.
And you see how he behaves toward them.
And they, you know, they're just like, ah, he's the cool guy, though. Yeah.
Right. He's the DM.
Right.
There was a great double word score with his guitar that only, you know, 80s metalhead guitar players would get. It was a BC Rich Warlock. I mean, arguably he was the bard.
Right.
But having him play a guitar named after a D&D class was, you know, or that shares a name with a D&D class was a nice touch.
Now, yeah, I mean, for those not familiar with Dungeons & Dragons, right, every character in this show is, you know, a class
from
the game somehow.
It's a stretch in some cases, but like Steve is a fighter.
Yes.
Possibly a paladin, arguably. Because he's the babysitter. He's clearly out, he's taking care of, he's the one who takes care of them, but he's also a fighter. So I think paladin's fair.
Yeah, I guess you could say that.
Nancy's clearly a fighter.
Yeah.
Robin, I don't know how she would qualify. Maybe I'd say fighter. I mean, I'm kind of filling in the kind of questionable ones as fighter just because it's kind of the generic class.
Yeah.
Dustin is the cleric.
Oh, yeah.
Eleven is the wizard, obviously.
Right.
The others, Mike and Lucas, I don't know exactly how they fit in.
Kind of halflings, you know, at the beginning.
Well, yeah, they're the halflings in terms of class, though.
Rogues.
Yeah, okay. That works.
Yeah. All the stealth. Right. All the sneaking.
Now, there is going to be a time jump in season 5 so that the characters' ages will match their actors' ages about 4 or 5 years.
Not much, though. Really, it's only
4 or 5 years between.
Every episode, I believe, is only like a year ahead.
What do you mean?
Like every season's only like a year up. Season 1's November of 83. Mm-hmm. Season 2 is the fall of 84.
Right.
3 is the summer of 85. Mm-hmm. And then 4 is March of 86.
But the time between is why the actors are older than the characters, because I think they were playing their ages in the beginning.
Yeah.
So they're about 4 years older as of season 4. They're about 4 or 5 years older, the younger cast members. That time jump doesn't have to start at the beginning of the season, it occurred to me.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking we were going to go into season 4 4 years later, and given how season 4 ended, that I don't know how they would justify waiting 4 years with that.
In fact, somebody caught on that that whole thing where Will is just really sad with the whole thing that Eleven was going through, that whole, the scene in California where she's being bullied and everything. Somebody noticed the date on the video camera that the bullies used to film Eleven's Carrie tribute. That it was Will's birthday.
Interesting.
That Winona Ryder, who plays Will's mom, has a monologue in an earlier episode, earlier seasons, about the day he was born. I think it was like March 22nd, and that was the date that was on the video camera. So they never bring it up either. They just kind of make Will look like he's just, pissed that no one's paying attention to him.
And here he is on his birthday, and his best friend and his crush are completely ignoring it.
Yes. And going in this whole like drama thing that Eleven has, that she's living this lie of being a popular girl.
Incidentally, I was reminded that at the beginning of season four, Eleven says she has no idea what Will is painting. He won't let her see it.
Oh, right.
So that whole story about Eleven commissioning it was a lie. They have effectively outed him. I wonder if they're going to make it official.
Yeah, they've laid enough evidence out there, of
I
course.
mean, that scene in the car, particularly the way Jonathan sees him, like,
Yeah.
they make it absolutely clear in that moment. He's gay, he's in love with Mike. I
Right.
don't know if he's going to actually say it.
Yeah, it's I can't imagine it was an easy thing back in this
No,
time,
absolutely not. Robin coming out to Steve was kind of a bit unrealistic.
Yeah.
That was a risk she probably wouldn't have taken with a guy she had known for, what, months at that point?
Well, I think doesn't he like he's like hitting on her if I'm remembering right.
Well, probably. Yes, it's
Or
Steve.
asking her out at least,
Yeah,
or
it's Steve.
professing feelings for her, actually, not even
Or at
just
least
hitting.
expressing an attraction.
Yeah.
Yeah,
And I
because
guess they were friends enough
it was later in the season, that's true.
to just finally like
Yeah.
it just can't happen.
Right. I mean,
And this is why.
yeah, and it's TV, so it's fine that, they took a risk there that she wouldn't have taken had it actually happened in 83. That being the case, Mike is not going to come out to anybody except maybe his brother, maybe Elle.
Will wouldn't come out.
I'm sorry, yeah, Will is not going to come out to except maybe Jonathan, because Jonathan kind of, that scene with Jonathan, it was, he all but said, yeah, I know.
Yeah. Where he's trying to like tell him that
Yeah, it's
he can
safe.
talk to him about
Yeah.
things, you know.
He might come out to Jonathan, he might come out to Elle, we might get an official thing there. He's not telling anybody else. That leads nicely to, I have five characters who I think are safe next season.
Oh. Okay.
Robin and Will, just because I think the Duffers are smart enough not to do bury your gays and could deal with the backlash.
I don't know. Will could really
Unless,
be a goner.
I mean, he might sacrifice himself, but I see Eleven sacrificing herself.
'Cause I mean, Will was kind of remember, Will was possessed by the Mind Flayer.
And they've said he's going to play a much bigger part in season five because he has the Spidey sense.
Yeah.
But I don't think they're going to kill him. I don't think they're going to kill Robin for the same reason. I think Erica is safe just because she was always the little sister.
I think Robin's safe, of course, yeah.
I think Max is safe just because they've done enough. They've
Yeah,
already killed her. They shouldn't. I hope they don't do it again.
I don't know what happens to Max in this. But although my prediction and everybody, what's fun is everybody's trying to talk about like what they're going to use for the soundtrack next season. I say they come in with Metallica's One
Okay, why?
while she's in the coma.
Oh, That really hasn't been a thing. Like, pop music of the day hasn't really been a thing, has it, until this season?
They have used Peter Gabriel in there a few times, I
Okay.
believe. So the other prediction, of course, is we're going to get "Don't Give Up," which
Yeah.
is his duet with Kate
Right.
Bush, to bring that together.
I also think Dustin's safe just because I see Dustin as like many, many years later, the old guy at the campfire just telling the story.
Dustin has to be safe.
Yeah. Dustin is the by far the best character.
I honestly think if you want a riot,
Yeah.
like anything happening to Dustin would I don't know.
Speaking of Dustin, serious props to Gaten Matarazzo, the actor, because at the end, that scene with Eddie's uncle was incredible.
Yes.
And
Oh my God.
just that whole ending, he had this like grizzled vet kind of vibe.
Yeah.
And given that Gaten Matarazzo was like, what, 18 maybe, 19? He pulled off this like 40 something grizzled vet vibe perfectly.
Now, about people surviving, here's the thing. If Will survives, Mike doesn't survive.
Oh yeah, I think Mike is done.
One of the two, like one or the other, is not going to make it through, but both cannot make it through. Is
The Duffers confirm that they are working on a spin-off. They said it is not what you think it's not gonna be what you think it is. They also said they're working with Finn Wolfhard for it, who plays Mike.
Yeah.
Finn Wolfhard is also a director. They said they have a lot of, they think he's gonna go in that direction. He did a short film called Night Shifts. I highly recommend looking for it. It's on YouTube.
Oh, that's cool.
So he might be directing some episodes of the spinoff instead of acting in it. I
Yeah.
think Mike's death motivates both of them.
True. Yeah, it does have the most impact because it affects 11, affects Will.
If they're in a moment where, it's like the death of the mentor, motivates the hero.
They built him up as the leader. They came right out and said it.
Yeah, he's the
And
heart.
this is, kind of the Christ figure, being killed.
Particularly if they're in a moment where those two are freezing up and don't know what to do, taking Mike out of the equation motivates the shit out of Eleven and Will.
Of course, some people could say it's an exaggeration to bring up Christ figure, but they have used the image of crucifixion throughout this. I mean, not on a cross, of course, but being like suspended in midair
Oh,
with
yeah.
things placed in you and being stretched out like that.
I mean, what did Vecna do? He basically crucified his victims.
Exactly. Vecna, that the Mind Flayer did it too. It it's just there. The Mind Flayer did it to Will. I'm not Billy. Billy, not
Oh,
Will.
yeah. I'm wondering if they're going to bring back a vision. I mean, they can't bring him back, obviously, because he
No.
sacrificed himself. But do we see his vision? I see him coming back almost as a spirit, kind of a force ghost thing. They do like to reference Star Wars. I see Billy kind of coming
Him
back
and
as a
Barb
force ghost.
as Anakin and Obi-Wan and Yoda.
Not literal force ghost, but kind of that vibe to take Max out of the coma.
Oh.
He's
Oh
going to
yeah.
appear to her. She's touched by Vecna, and Vecna killed him.
And
So,
he visits her
yeah.
in the coma
And
to get her out.
he's good now because he, like Darth Vader, turned good in his final moment. So I think he's going to appear to Max to pull her out of the coma, and she might be a linchpin.
Max?
She's the only one who's been killed by Vecna and came back,
Yeah.
or will probably come back, because Sadie Sink has not mentioned that she. Has been let go, so she's gonna be in the next season.
Well, yes, you'd have to be the next
Yeah,
season.
and she can't just be in a coma the whole time.
Well, the whole fault that created the fourth fault to bring Vecna or the upside down out. So, if she's not really dead, could that seal up the fault itself?
And she's kind of in the middle of it now. She's,
Yeah.
in a Her being in a coma is keeping something open because she's not really alive or dead.
Right.
If she comes out of the coma, it's Vecna's. It could be seen as Vecna's failure. Although I think they implied that just her dying for a minute was enough.
Yeah.
So, I think it's more interesting to keep it open just because, you know, this is their trudging through enemy territory now.
Well, right, but that's what the season's going to be about, yeah, of course.
That's the final chapter of every campaign, is trudging
banishing
through enemy territory to go and finally kill the big bad.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, I loved the reveal of how the upside down happened, basically. Not where it originally came from, but when he got there. The Mind Flayer was just an energy source.
Oh, yeah?
That, you know, it was just this amorphous cloud that he turned to as well. And so the Mind Flayer was not the big bad. It was always Vecna. He just used this energy field, the mind cloud, this dust particle cloud, to connect to everything.
And they in the one season, they had formed by the rats.
Yeah. But it's always
the zombies.
The one in charge of the big bad, or in charge of the upside down, was never the Mind Flayer. It was always Vecna.
Well, we thought there might have been somebody behind Vecna, too. But you think Vecna is the...
They showed him when he was banished. He was walking through this landscape, this barren red landscape.
Yeah.
And he happened upon the cloud. And he turned it into a into that spider-like form that he had drawn as a kid.
Right.
So he bent it to his will. And what occurred to me when we saw that, there's an interesting mental health analogy going on here.
Oh, yeah?
It's the upside down, that cloud, it's despair.
Yeah.
It all represents despair.
And now just like everything stopped at a certain point. Yeah.
It's all, I don't like to say depression because that's a proper clinical illness, but to me that all represents despair. When Henry came to Hawkins, that's when he turned evil.
It's when everything is kind of frozen.
Yeah.
I mean, not of course, not you know, by physical definition, but mentally.
Yeah.
Everything is frozen at a certain
date. That's what it does to you.
Yeah.
So there's an interesting analogy going there. I'm sure it was intentional. What is it about? This is the thing that I really want them to answer. What is it about Hawkins? Because it wasn't the lab. The lab started after Vecna. Brenner started his research because of Henry. Henry comes to Hawkins and turns evil. He had powers before this. He said he was born with them.
Right.
But he came to Hawkins and he turned evil. Something about that town, and it's maybe, as someone I'd seen suggest, that just the walls between dimensions are thinner.
Something with the house.
Maybe it's the house.
Yeah, maybe in this season they kind of they'll explain coming up some of the history of the house.
Perhaps.
Because there were things he found in there, wasn't there?
Well, I'm vaguely remembering. I was trying not to watch that whole explanation of his backstory, because I cheated and read a bit of a plot summary and I just found out that there were spiders involved.
Right, the spiders.
Turns out they were just black widows. They were tiny little things. They wouldn't have bothered me.
Yeah.
But so I don't really remember a lot about that, but perhaps that's why all of the openings are in Hawkins. The walls between the dimensions are just thinner there.
And they've been worked, you know.
And they've been
thinned out by Eleven and Brenner.
Actually, there and in Russia.
Yeah.
There's a thinner wall in Russia too.
Looking back at the plot lines, you know, they had Russia from the beginning.
Right. Yeah, season two. I forgot all about Alexei.
Well, even in season one, Eleven remembers trying to eavesdrop some Russians. Viewing.
Yeah. Incidentally, just a side note for those who don't know, MK Ultra was a real thing.
Oh, yeah?
But it wasn't about psychic powers, even though, yes, the government has tried to run experiments on psychic powers.
Was it a diet Michelob or Michelob Light?
Ba-dum-bum.
I think that's what they actually called it, actually.
Was it?
MKUltra.
Wow. MKUltra was a series of experiments to see if hallucinogenic drugs could make someone easier to interrogate. In the show, they use hallucinogenic drugs to try to spawn psychic powers, and suggest that the children of these experiments are, well, at 11 has her powers because if she was the child of one of these experiments, and presumably most of the other numbers as well. Henry's a little different; he was born that way.
I forgot Amy Siemens was 11's aunt, pretty much.
Oh yeah, right. I forgot that. I have to go back and rewatch that. I like her. I think we've covered everything.
I think so too.
That's it for Stranger Things. Obviously, I recommend Stranger Things. It is,
yeah, definitely.
It's not always perfect, but on balance, it's amazing. Especially if, like us, you're old enough to remember the early 80s. And that's it for Stranger Things until, well, 2 weeks from now, because you need next week off.
Yes.
When we'll be reviewing Cheerleader Ninjas on Zombie Takeout. That's Cheerleader Ninjas, not Ninja Cheerleaders, which we did a couple of years ago.
It's like a sitcom kind of thing. Oh.
This is the presumably better one that we should have reviewed 2 years ago. Until then, of course, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there you are.
There you are.